Hello and welcome back. We are on section 3 now, when we are discussing chapter 6, which is international economic cooperation. So let's see what this talks about. Now, what are the learning objectives for this chapter? You will learn about concept of economics, cooperation amongst countries. You will be understanding to know about various types of stages which are there when an economic cooperation takes place. You also will know the effect of such economic cooperation. You learn about some major trade blocks or groups which are existing in the world as of now. And you'll also understand India's perspective or India's free trade agreements in detail. So let's try to go. Now, the opening case in your book talks about the North American Free Trade Agreement, also known as NAFTA in short. It talks about how the NAFTA came into existence, how it has gone through the years, and how during the Trump government it has now been changed. The name is going to change from NAFTA to another name, and how it is going to, what's in store for it in future. So please do read this case study. It is a very interesting case study to understand. Regional economic cooperation. Now, regional economic cooperation is required basically because every country is not self-reliant. They are dependent on many other nations which develop, which manufacture, or which have natural resources which they don't have. So emergence of regional cooperation in 1990s is one of the most important development which has taken over in the world. Regional cooperation, economic cooperation, can be seen as a midway between a complete self-reliance and a complete openness. Also, the regional economic cooperation can harness countries' strength. It can help to overcome the challenges of globalization. So let's see further. Now, regional trade agreements are increasing and changing basically in the form and nature throughout the ages. 50 trade agreements were in force in 1990 when this whole movement started, and now there are around 280 in 2017. And in February 2021, it is around 339 regional trade agreements which are there in force as of now. It can be bilateral, it can be unilateral, it can be even multilateral. So many agreements do exist. Now, here is a brief chart which you can see how in the 70s, from a very small number, where it has been increasing throughout, and it will further increase also, depending on which more countries want to get into regional cooperation. Now, regional economic cooperation is actually a multidimensional process which can include your economic scenario, because that is one of the most important scenarios, your foreign policy, of whether you want to have a closed economy or you want to have an open economy, where you're open to globalization or you want to protect a domestic industry, and so on. Security issues, like what we face being a country which has China, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nepal, Bhutan around it. So if we have some threat, normally if a country has some threat, they normally try to get into some sort of economic cooperation so that the relationship improve between the countries. There is also a social sector, depending, because even people will also be involved as a part in process. And there is a cultural dimension to it. Also, there is a lot of cultural exchanges which do happen. Now, integrating regional market is now widely seen as a political strategy. Now, why? To definitely reap the benefits and to counter the negative impacts of globalization. Let's see how. Now, going through the economic process, the economic cooperation process, there are these six stages which are available, or which people have seen throughout this century when all these things started. Now, first of all, there is a preferential trade agreement, PTA, then which gets converted further to a free trade agreement area or free trade agreement. Then there's a customs union. Then there is a common market, followed by the economic union, and finally a political union. So let's see each of the stages to understand better. Now, preferential trade agreement. Now, preferential trade agreement basically is when it gives preferential access to certain products from a participating country. Like for example, let's say a preferential agreement which we have between India and Mercosur. Now, this agreement basically will facilitate preferential duty or preferential goods for certain products where there will be a reduced tariff. Okay, now this is definitely done by reducing tariff but not abolishing them completely. So if suppose for a product A, the import duty is say 10% or 12%. Now in this case, as per the agreement, there would be a reduction in duty and the duty would be only 5%. So that is how the regional, the preferential trade agreement works. Now the list of products of which the partners agree to reduce the duty is called basically the positive list. And there is a list of products which are given only on those products you get that particular preferential trade preferences. So as I mentioned, India and Mercosur also has this preferential trade agreement for an example. Now, after the preferential stage is crossed normally, they move on to another sort of agreement which is called as a free trade area. Now, region encompassing a trade bloc whose member have signed the FTA. So basically it's a region where two countries decide that this will be a free trade area. Now, in this case, there is a negative list on which duty is not reduced or eliminated. Like in the earlier case, we saw that there was a positive list of products which duty had reduced. But in this case, we have a negative list on which duty is not reduced or eliminated. Now, such agreements involve cooperation between at least two countries to reduce trade barriers, import quotas and tariff, and to increase trade of goods and services with each other. The classic example, India-Sri Lanka Free Trade Agreement. Now, India and Sri Lanka has a free trade agreement in which some of the products which attract duties of almost 30% and 40% for some of the products, if imported from Sri Lanka, you get a duty benefit of sometimes negative or zero duty benefit. So, importers who are importing those products from Sri Lanka gain on the duty which they don't have to pay in this because of this free trade agreement. After this sort of free trade area agreement, we move to the customs union. Now, what a customs union basically? Basically, this is a type of trade bloc which is composed of a FTA with a common extended external tariff. So, both countries will share a common tariff for imports of the particular product. Participant countries set a common external trade policy, but in some cases use different import quotas. So tariffs will remain same, but quotas can change. For example, in this case, the South African Customs Union. South African Customs Union, also you can find this example of a customs union. Now, what's the purpose? Purpose is to increase economic efficiency and establish closer political and cultural ties between the member countries. After the common union stage, we move on to the common market stage. Now, what's a common market stage? Now, goal is that the movement of capital, labor, goods and services between the members, okay, is easy within them. For example, the European Union or European Common Market. A common market is usually basically also referred to as a first stage of creating a single market. It usually is built upon a free trade area with relatively free movement of capital and services, but not so advanced in reduction of the rest of the trade barriers. So basically, there is now free movement of capital, labor, goods, and services within these member nations. Then there is an economic. Now, the classic example of an economic union is the European Union. Now, this is a type of trade bloc which composes of a common market with a common customs union. Now, the participant countries have common policies on product regulations. There's freedom of movement of goods within this trade bloc. services and the factors of production like capital and labor also are freely moving in this particular trade bloc, and a common external trade policy is there. Now in economic union you can also find one extension of the, now what European Union has is also a common currency. Then we move to a political union. The example, classic example would be the unification of Germany from East and West Germany uniting to become Germany. Now this is an economic and monetary union basically. Type of trade bloc composes of economic union with a monetary union. A stronger political relation is the outcome of this economic and monetary union. Now it establishes through currency related trade pacts. Now effects of economic union, what would be the effects of economic union? Now, economic cooperation benefit depends upon the level of development and basically the scale of unifying countries. So there can be a static effect or there can be a dynamic effect. So what, let's look into the static effect. The static effect basically, these are basically visual effects which can be seen immediately after the integration is done. Like for example, there is an opening of a new market or a trade creation, immediate, which is an immediate effect after the economic cooperation is signed. There can be also a distribution of existing market, which is trade division. Trade divergence occurs when trade is diverted from countries outside the trading area to the countries inside. So there is basically a static effect which is happening now, which is immediate, which can be seen immediately, is basically there's a formation of a new market. There can be also a dynamic effect, which is a response of the economy over a period of time. Now in this also there would be new market creation or there would be a market extension basically, because efficient producers will now produce more product and inefficient producers will be now forced to be more efficient or move out of the market. Competition and price, the domestic players which were there, now they will be not getting any sort of protection because there will be a lot of foreign companies also which will be coming into the block and establishing their plants. So for the domestic company firms will no more get any protection. There could be a situation of temporary unemployment because there would be some companies which would be moving out or moving to a different location, and that may cause some sort of unemployment which will be mainly of a temporary nature in that particular region. So now after looking into the effects, let's move on to the understanding of the major trade blocks which are there in the world. Now we are not discussing all because there's a huge list of this, but we are only trying to cover some major trade blocks which are there and which are functional and doing well. Now the first of all, when you think about a trade block, your thought goes process. The process will go towards European Union. Now, what's European? Let's understand what the composition is. The European Union basically is a political cooperation, co-economic union of 28 member states. Now 27 again because there is Britain who has exited last year. These are all existing in Europe. Now the aim was to ensure free movement of people, goods, services and capital. EU was developed as a single market through a standardized system of law that applies in all member states, correct? Also they have gone to an extent where they also created a common currency for which can be used in all these markets, which is we know as Euro. EU has been awarded Nobel Peace Prize in 2012. Because of this union, there is a lot of peace in whole of Europe. EU again maintaining common policies on trade, agriculture, fishery and regional development. The EU maintains also permanent diplomatic missions throughout the world and represents itself in UN, in the UN, in the World Trade Organization, in the G8 and the G20 meetings also. UK or Great Britain became the first country actually to leave the EU in January 2020. Now all countries in the EU have high Human Development Index according to United Nations Development Programme. Now, you represents around 5.8 of the world population in 2020. Now, if you talk about population-wise, then it is not a larger one. But then, if you talk about the number of countries involved and about other factors, then it is a major trade bloc. Now, the EU had generated a nominal gross domestic product of around USD 15.5 trillion in 2019, constituting approximately 18% of the world nominal GDP, which is again significant. Next trade blocks we'll understand is NAFTA or the North American Free Trade Agreement. Now, this was signed between Canada, Mexico, and the USA in 1994. Now, NAFTA has two supplements. One is Northern America Agreement for Environmental Cooperation, which is NAAEC, and North American Agreement for Labor Cooperation, which is NAALC. Now, NAFTA will become USMCA. If you have read your first case study or the beginning of this chapter, it talks about this change. Now, when it was taking effect, on September 30, 2018, the United Nations and Canada agreed to a deal to replace NAFTA with the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, which is USMCA. And it has taken effect from July 1, 2020. Now, such cooperation amongst nations will help to plan and to have sector-specific policies and growth. Next is Mercosur, or also you can read the Spanish full form also. I don't know Spanish, so you can just read the Spanish full form. The Southern Common Market, Mercosur, is for the Spanish initials. Now is a sub-regional trade bloc. It comprises of Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay, and Uruguay. Now, its basic idea is to promote free trade and easy movement of goods, people, and currency. Official languages, of course, there are two, the Spanish as well as Portuguese. Now, it is now a full customs union and as well as a trade bloc. APEC, or Asian Pacific Economic Cooperation, it is formed by 21 Pacific Rim members economies, promoting basically free trade throughout Asia and the Pacific region. It's established in 1989. The member nations are USA, Australia, China, Hong Kong, Mexico, Peru, New Zealand, Malaysia, Japan, Korea, Thailand, Canada, Singapore, and Indonesia. Plus, there are some more. Now, ASEAN, which is a very important trade bloc where trade between in Asia is concerned. Association of Southeast Asian Nations. This was established in Bangkok in August 1967, and the aim was to binding members in friendship and cooperation to take up joint efforts for development and peace. Now, member nations are Malaysia, Indonesia, Singapore, Thailand, Philippines, Vietnam, Myanmar, Cambodia, Brunei, etc. Now, this association basically covers diverse topics such as trade and investment, industry, service, finance, agriculture, energy, transport, communication, IP, MSME, and tourism. Then there is also RCEP, which is a new kid on the block basically. Now, this is after years of negotiation, 15 countries have formed this particular trade bloc. But India is not a part of this trade bloc because India has opted to stay out of it. The RCEP has lacked clear assurance that over the market access issues in countries such as China and non-tariff barriers on Indian company. So that is where India has also tried to stay out of it. Now, in terms of trade blocs, the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, which is RCEP, if you see, it has a significant role over here. The total GDP of the member nations collectively put, now this is the United States Mexico Canada Agreement, which is around $24.37 trillion, the European Economic Area, which is around $18.85 trillion, but the RCEP, has around $25.84 trillion. So that is, that makes it one of the major blocks. Now, this was one of some of the trade blocks which are there existing in the world. Now, let's understand the trade agreement which India has signed. Now, now India also has signed various trade agreements, various free trade agreements with various nations. Now, India is facilitating free trade, and its main cause of becoming a WTO member was that only. Now, there are a lot of bilateral trade agreements signed between India and a lot of other countries, as well as a lot of other groups. In some of the agreements are like, which is Asia Pacific Trade Agreement, PTA. Then there is Indian ASEAN agreement. There is GSTP, which is Global System for Trade Preferences. There is South Asia Free Trade Agreement, which is also called as SAFTA by some people. Now, these are some of the list of agreements. India has signed agreement with Korea, though that is the India-Korea SEPA agreement. India-Sri Lanka, which is a free trade agreement. India-Singapore, which is a CEA agreement. India with Japan, which is a SEPA agreement. Plus, there are also other under negotiation. Now, all these trade agreements, if an importer is importing from these particular countries, they get duty tariff benefit. Now, how they will get duty tariff benefit is basically all these country which are exporting will issue a particular preferential certificate of origin, which has to be produced over here to the customs, and custom on basis of that will give them duty benefit. Some of the duty benefits are almost zero, almost nil. Nil duty can be used for importing. Some of the products attract even 60% and 70% duty. Those also products can be imported, if imported from this particular member nations, can be imported at zero duty. Now, closing case, this is a case again why India has opted not to be a part of the RCEP, which gives you a detailed study of why India has not been a part of this. So, we would request you to please read through this case study in detail so that you understand what is the reasons why India is not becoming a part of RCEP. So finally, to end to it, trade blocks are important in development of international trade. Many trade blocks which are existing in the world have actually helped the growth of those countries. Being a member nation also with those countries, they also have grown along with other countries, because that is how trade blocks work, and that is how regional cooperation is promoted. Thank you.